ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Verse 20th. So this chapter is Dhritarashtra quotes Om. Yena chaiva bhipanno yam prane priyatamer api janaha Sadhyo Vyujeta Kim Utanyayer Dhanadibhi Yena Chaiva Vipannoyam Prane Priyatamerapi Jana Sadhyo Vyujeta किमुताने ध्यानादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुतानेर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुताने धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि येन चैवाभिपन्नोऽयम् प्राणे प्रियतमेरपि जना सद्यो वियुज्येत किमुता निर्धनादिभि Yena, pulled by such time. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Abhipanna, overtaken. I am this prane with life, priyatame, which is most dear to everyone, api, even though, janaha, person, sadhya, forthwith, viyujeta, do give up, kim uta anye, what to speak of any other thing, dhana adibhi, such as wealth, honor, children, land, and house. So let me go to the translation. I kind of, you know, change the sequence here. Translation by His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. Whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala or eternal time must surrender his most dear life, and what to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home. This is the purport. A great Indian scientist busy in the plan-making business was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the planning commission. And he had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India and its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property, and honor due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of the influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influence of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universes due to the influence of time, and no one could check them by any means. Even in our daily life, so many things come and go in which we have no hand, but we have to suffer or tolerate them without remedial measure. That is the result of time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. Let's read the verses one more time. Whoever is under the influence of supreme kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life, and what to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home. Hare Krishna. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this specific chapter is Dhritarashtra quits home. Actually, before I proceed, Archita Prabhu told me to just introduce myself because just a quick, brief introduction I'll give myself before I go to the discussion of this chapter. So, my name is Gauranga Premdas. I know most of you here. Some of them probably I don't know. Which I don't come here every day, so I'm not as fortunate as all of you are. I live around 30 plus miles, it's around 45 minutes. In the morning today, I left home at 5:40, and I reached here at almost like 7. So it took one hour, so very longer. And I was born in India, in Orissa, which is around 2 hours from Jagannath Puri. Then I grew up in, my parents moved to Mumbai. As we worked, my father's job moved to Mumbai, so we were working there. I studied there in Mumbai. And at the age of around 25, I came in touch with devotees. My brother, who is a medical student, their college, medical college is very close to Chopai Temple. So Brahmacharis from Chopai Temple used to come there every Thursdays, they used to have Thursday evenings, they would have Gita class. And that's where my younger brother, he got introduced to Krishna consciousness for the first time. And he just told me that, there is a nice place where Gita is being discussed. Now, as Indians, as we grow up, we know Bhagavad Gita, but that's all. There is nothing beyond that. We just know Gita is there. So even though actually I had kind of a Vaishnava background, my mother comes from a Gaudiya Vaishnava family. But when we came, it was in Orissa. But when we moved to Mumbai, everything is lost. We kind of lose connection of the place and we just have some culture, but knowledge is not there. And that's true for pretty much many of the Indians, that people know, but there is not enough philosophical background understanding. And so then I went to the temple, Chopai Temple, for the first time. This was in 1996. And there, I got introduced to Gauranga Prabhu. He was my initial mentor. He has come here many times. You must be knowing Gauranga Prabhu. His name is Gauranga Prabhu. He has come here. So he was my mentor for a few years. Then I was studying that time. I was doing my MBA. I finished my master's. Then I took up job. And I got fortunately initiated by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And then in 2003, I came to U.S. And then we were kind of there was a concern that, we are going to U.S., will you lose the touch of devotees? So I came to the East Coast. But within a month's time, we met devotees in New Jersey. I was in New Jersey. We got to touch devotees and went to the temple there. So by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, wherever I went, there was a temple nearby, there were devotees nearby, and we always felt closer to home, closer to Krishna consciousness, Krishna. And then in 2007, I came to L.A., Los Angeles. So New Dwarka, the experience was very different. Big temple, so many devotees, such great morning programs. So very happy that over the last almost 11 years plus here. Very grateful to be part of this community with so many devotees around, so many exalted Vaishnavas. So please, keep me in your prayers that I can continue to serve in whatever capacity and take the benefit of all of your association here. So today's Srimad Bhagavatam lesson, and this specific whole, this chapter actually, there are two key themes in this chapter. The first one is focusing on Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra's attachment and his predicament. Now, if you see our modern day life, kind of we have majority of people like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was, of course, born blind. So we're talking about spiritually blind. He was actually also literally blind. And in his whole life, his complaint was that life is not fair to him. That was his major complaint. I am the elder one, but I cannot see, so I'm not the king. So his whole asakti was how I could not become the king. So that was his major preoccupation in his thoughts. And in this world also, you find that, you know, people as they grow up, either they get, you know, some good education, they grow up, they become, you know, elderly. Actually, I live in a place called Cerritos, where pretty much 50% people are actually senior citizens. So that place was built around, most of the houses around like 1970s. So people who moved there when they were in their early 20s, now they are in their late 60s or early 70s. So there, you know, I get to know, my immediate neighbor also is kind of a senior citizen. So their life you come to know. They watch TV. Then they have a senior center, they go there. They spend time playing some things. They have actually city sometimes provide some services. Doing some plays, games, you know, some performances. And then I come back home, sleep, and again watch TV. So it's kind of, if you see, a very, very routine, monotonous and boring lifestyle. So contrast to our life here, right? So Dhritarashtra was in a similar situation. Of course, he had all his sons had died. So even though he had this big mahatvakanksha or ambition to become the king, he then transferred it to his son Duryodhan, and his whole life he kind of, you know, mentored him to become the king. And at the end, we find that he lost everything. And in this situation, he is getting it from Vidura. So similarly, even in this world, if people don't get the right guidance, then their whole life actually goes in vain. Fortunately, Dhritarashtra got benefit of Vidura. So the second theme in this chapter is Vidura's compassion. Vidura was, of course, Vidura was a great Mahatma, and there is a specific episode where, you know, he is insulted by Duryodhan. So Vidura spent his entire life serving Dhritarashtra and then the Pandavas and Kauravas. And when he was insulted, basically he called out his, you know, his mother's name is Sudrani, son of Sudrani. So then Vidura felt hurt. And so look at Vidura's mood as a Vaishnava. Instead of, you know, retaliating or feeling morose, he said, okay, this is a good opportunity. He resigned himself from his ministership and he left for pilgrimage. Let's take a session of sadhus. If there is life is not going good, let's take a sadhu. So he went on, made the best use of his time, and then he comes back. And when he comes back, if you see, when Duryodhan insulted publicly to Vidura, Dhritarashtra could have stopped Duryodhan. So Duryodhan could have been checked by Dhritarashtra, but he did not. Primarily because Dhritarashtra was so much, having so much of asakti to his son, that whatever he did, he had the duty and the emotion of a brother, you know, or the king, to kind of check that, but he failed in doing that. So the lesson we learn from this life of Dhritarashtra is that because of asakti, there will be times in our life when we will actually not do the right thing. So by training, one must try to get over asakti so that one can do the right justice in their duties. So now Vidura, even though he found that Dhritarashtra betrayed him, he still came back. After the war was over, Vidura came back. And again he forgave Dhritarashtra. Not only forgave, he actually helped him get to the highest perfection of life. So that is again a heart of a devotee, a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava doesn't take offenses seriously. On the other hand, he or she tries to help and outreach and preach and connect everyone to Krishna. So Vidura then, of course, you know, in this whole chapter, he is giving instructions to Dhritarashtra so that Dhritarashtra can take benefit of the last stage of his life. In this specific verse, the concept of time is spoken. So Vidura says that because of the effect of time, a person loses everything. Forget land, wife, children, all those things. Even his own life, is the person loses. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Kala Kalayatam Aham, that among the subduers, I am time, in the 10th chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam actually does a very good job of smashing all our attachments. Every canto, there is nice instructions, episodes, conversations, narrations. In fact, in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj, he is teaching to small kids, 5-year-olds. And during what time? Because they are busy in school. It's a demon school, so obviously he can't preach there. So he tries to find some time during the lunchtime. So during different time, that time he tries to preach to his classmates. So this is where you find that Bhagavatam has enough innumerous lessons to guide us, take care of our attachments and detach us. So focusing on time in this specific verse. So I'll have some aspects of time being discussed here. So the first part was time being eternal. In the Bhagavad Gita introduction, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Bhagavad Gita deals with 5 basic truths. One is Ishvara, Supreme Lord, Jiva, the living entity. Then we have Prakriti, material nature. Then we have Karma, which is actions. And Kala, time. So time, eternal time, is actually one of the fundamental subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita. So it has a very, a large, I would say, bearing on understanding spirituality. Kunti Devi, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, she also prays, Manyetvam kalam ishanam anadim nidhanam vibhum. That, oh my Lord, I worship you as eternal time. Manyetvam kalam, your eternal time. Ishanam, you are a supreme Lord. And anadim, you don't have any beginning. Nidhanam, you don't have any end. And you are all pervading, vibhum. So from the prayers of great souls like Kunti Devi, and our understanding of Krishna being the source of eternal time is really confirmed. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, Krishna says, Kalosmi lokakshit. So Krishna says that I am Kalas, time. I actually destroy everything. Lokakshita. Loka means all the planets, all the worlds. And kshita means I destroy it. So as the agency for destruction, time actually is just a great tool. And Krishna says that I am that agency of time who destroys everything. This concept of time also was explained by Narada Muni to King Prachina Barisat in the 4th canto. So we find this theme repeatedly, that saintly persons instructing kings who do not have any insight into spirituality. So in the 4th canto, Narada Muni is explaining about, he gives an allegory of King of Puranjan to King Barisat to bring about a concept that what he is doing is wrong and he should change his lifestyle. So in the specific analogy, he mentions that, Narada Muni mentions that this King Puranjana is living happily in his fort, in his palace, many queens, he has so many of opulences. But there is a king called Chandavega, and that Chandavega is attacking King Puranjan. So the word Chandavega means as swift as time. So that is the allegory which Narada Muni is using, that Chandavega, which is as swift as time, he is attacking all of us. And what are the soldiers? He has 360 Gandharvas and 360 Gandharvis. So the 360 is the number of days in a year. So these days and nights that we have, so these days and nights, what do soldiers do? They plunder away all the wealth of, all the opulence of King Puranjan. Similarly, the allegory is used to show the king that you are wasting your days and nights under in the pursuit of sense gratification. And then further actually, the king actually says at the end that, oh Narad Muni, you told me all these great things, but I didn't follow a lot of it. So can you please explain to me in more detail, in more easy terms? So then again Narad Muni explains. And this time he uses another analogy. He of course explains the whole thing. And then he explains like a deer. Just like a deer is engaging in eating nice grass in a garden. And the deer is listening to the bumblebees in the garden, very happy, peaceful, no distractions, and time is passing by. But the deer does not know, while he is enjoying eating the grass and listening to the bumblebees, that there is a tiger which is awaiting him, which is ready to eat his flesh, and also there is a hunter behind him which is ready to kill him. So the analogy explained, Narad Muni explains that the deer is like all of us. We are busy in our life, like eating grass, you know, living life without any care, most of the materialists. And then this tiger is represented by time. So time is waiting. Regardless of what happens, time is always there waiting for us. And so that is the tiger. And the hunter is given by our karma. That even if we go through everything, even if you die, you cannot escape the cycle of birth and death, because your karma will make you born again. So you have one is the tiger, the time, and second is the hunter, which is your karma. So you cannot escape either of them. The third aspect of time that we discuss here is time is imperceptible. In the previous verse, in the same chapter, Vidura explains that atyakramad avignata kala parama dustara. So time, atyakramat avignata. So the key word is avignata. Avignata means imperceptible. You don't know. Look at our nails, right? Our nails grow every second, but we don't even realize it. Suddenly after a week, we find that, I need to cut my nails. It's too long. It's growing every second, but we don't realize it's imperceptible. Our hair grows again every second. After a month, I need a haircut. So we realize it, but not clearly. As it is growing, as time is passing, we don't realize it. So the Prabhupada, one time he was giving a lecture, and it was a Hindi lecture. So Prabhupada said, how many people know Hindi here? Okay, but I should say, Prabhupada said it, so I'll just repeat that here. Prabhupada said that, koi vyakti budha nahi hona chahata, lekin samay sabko chupcha budha bana deta hai. So the English is that no one wants to get old, but time chupcha means slowly, quietly makes everyone old. So that was so again, time is imperceptible. You don't know it's just happening. Just look around. We remember the good old days when I was so young, and suddenly time had changed. Now, even Prabhupada, one more time, and in the 1970s, in 77, he was in Jagannath Puri. Then he, with all the devotees, they see a young man running, jogging. And then Prabhupada said to his disciples that, when I was 24, it was 1920, I came to Jagannath Puri, and I was running like this. And now, I want to, after 57 years, I want to also run again. But look at the impact of time. I cannot do that. So time takes away our capacities. Time is all powerful. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we look at, there are mentions of so many kings. And sometimes these kings are just mentioned as one name. Suddenly 40 to 50 kings mentions, names are mentioned in a passing. So, these kings were not ordinary kings. They were not city mayors or councilmen. They were samrats, chakravartis. They should rule the entire planet Earth. So then, their name is just mentioned in a flash and it goes away. So Acharyas explained that why, of course, the name is mentioned because they were all pure devotees. So just by listening to their names also we get purification. That's one reason. The second reason is that to make us realize that these all big powerful personalities came and went. What to speak of all of us? We are insignificant compared to their glories. What glorious times they had. Now, time is also relative. Relative means, if a young man looks at the time, the watch is going too slow. And if an elderly person looks at the watch is going too fast, can it go slow? So time is relative. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, it's explained about time from the atomic level. At a smaller level, microseconds is explained. And it goes on, builds on to hours, days, lifetimes, yugas, yuga cycles, manvantaras to the life of Brahma. Almost a trillion years. So from microseconds to trillions of years. And then all this is just like a nimisha for Krishna. So like a small flash. So Brahma's life is also like a flash of lightning in the eternal time. What to speak of us? And not to speak of our problems. So it virtually doesn't exist in the context of this cosmic time. Neither we exist nor our times. Nor our problems, our challenges. So just to understand the scale given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Time is also a deliverer of sense gratification. King Muchukunda, when he was praying to the Lord in his cave, he was saying that, oh my Lord, I forgot time, when he goes to fight for the devatas, demigods. But time did not forget me. Time passed. I just came back, and everything is finished when I come back. And then he says that, my Lord, kings used to come and bow in front of me in the day. So I was so powerful. And in the night, but I used to be like a krida mruga, like a toy in the hands of my queens. So showing that how time gave him sense gratification. So time gives us our facilities to enjoy or go through a karma. In fact, I have a colleague who is a Bible scholar. So we sometimes discuss. So both of us appreciate each other's views, and we discuss common topics. So he was saying, he was sharing his insights. He says that so time actually is considered important among all the religions or all the spiritual paths. They said that from the rising of the sun to the setting, the Lord's name must be glorified, which is exactly like what we say. So it's kind of confirming that they get some things, some things are confirmed and matching. And he also said that you can imagine if there was no time, God in the form of time was not there. You have a headache now. And if you didn't, you have a disease, and if time didn't take away your body, you'll have to live with the disease forever. So who wants a diseased body? And then of course he said that, what about your spouse? Suppose you're not happy with your spouse. You're stuck with that person forever. So at least time gives an opportunity, to find... he was trying to, in his own way, explain that. But as devotees, we understand that the Bhagavatam deals with these topics in much more detail and much more depth to explain us. So as devotees, how do we see time? In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, in the fourth verse actually, he explains, he's saying that, I bow to the devotees, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhau Charata Paribhuta Kala Jalabhiya Bhakta Makaran Asilita Mukti Nadikan Namasyami. So Rupa Goswami says that, I bow down, Namasyami, to all the devotees of the Lord. They are like sharks, Makaran. Makaran means shark. So sharks in the ocean. So then he explains there are three reasons he gives why he is comparing devotees to sharks in the ocean. Number one, he says that just like shark is the king of the ocean, no fear, the minda freely it moves, enjoys life blissfully in the ocean because he's the king. He did not afraid of the small fish here and there. Similarly, a devotee is so much immersed, relishing the nectar, ocean of Krishna's pastimes, Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, in this ocean. Sindhu means ocean, the Rasa Amrita. That a devotee is also fearless because he is immersed, relishing the ocean, the ambrosial nectar of Krishna's service. Number two reason he gives is that just like a shark, he never leaves the ocean to go for the rivers. He's happy in the ocean, doesn't look for the rivers. Similarly, a devotee doesn't leave Krishna, doesn't go to the Nadi. Nadi means river, and Mukti means liberation. So the rivers of liberation. So a devotee is engaged in Krishna's service, in the ocean of Krishna's service, and hence he doesn't care for the rivers of liberation. Just like a shark is happy in the ocean, doesn't care about the rivers, the shallow waters of the river. Similarly, a devotee is happy in the depth of Krishna consciousness and doesn't care about the sense gratification or the liberation rivers. The third reason he gives is that a shark goes so deep in the ocean, he swims, that it escapes the jala. Jala means the net. So, kal jala. So, the net, it escapes because it is deep. Similarly, a devotee is also immersed in the ocean of Krishna consciousness. So, a devotee escapes the kal jala. Kala means time. It's a network of time. So, a devotee is able to overcome the effect of time, kala jala, because a devotee is immersed in the ocean of Krishna consciousness, just like a shark is in the ocean, in the king of the ocean. Three reasons. However, that does not mean that devotees don't go through difficulties because of time. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishmadev, he says, he's giving to instruction to King Yudhishthir, Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vikrodara Krishna stri gandivam chapam suhut Krishna stato vipat. So, Bhishmadeva is saying that even though, look at the influence of time, even though in the Pandavas, for the Pandavas, Dharma Suta Raja, King Yudhishthir was Dharma Raj. So he was, even though such a great person as King Yudhishthir is there, who is religion personified, Bhima, who is Gadapani, who holds the Gada, is in a Vrikodara. So Bhima is there, who is so strong, so powerful. And Arjuna is Gandiva. Oh no, Krishna was three Gandivam Chapam. Arjuna with his Gandiva, who is so pretty, he was a number one archer in the entire universe that time. So with all these three, besides all that, they had Krishna as their well-wisher, Surt Krishnas. So Krishna was a well-wisher. So with all these things, still Pandavas had to go through so much of difficulty. Why? How? Because of the influence of time. That is the only explanation. So even though we take shelter of Krishna, we still go through our difficulties. But a devotee's consciousness is that he or she is always with a grateful heart, accepts, and the pleasure he derives is in the service of Krishna, not caring too much about the external difficulties or the facilities that a person gets. So this is the understanding of being a devotee, that how a devotee overcomes the influence of time. The karmic reactions will come, but because of our engagement in the service, we are able to get nourishment from there and continue with that. So in summary, we understand that Krishna is eternal time. Time has many aspects. Just time is powerful. It is a destroyer. And the whole world is in the grip of time. And as devotees, we are also influenced by time. But because we are immersed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the ocean of Krishna service, we are able to take care of these effects of time by taking shelter of Krishna and the devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I know we are a little over time. Is there any time for any question or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. This is my first time hearing you speak. Really wonderful job.
Thank you.
My question is that, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we find that, particularly in the neophyte stage, It's difficult to always be immersed in the nectar ocean of devotion. And I'm just wondering, you know, when our mind gives us trouble in Krishna consciousness and maybe we like remain in the mental platform too much, what are some things we can remind ourselves or things that we can do in order to overcome the influence of the material energy in an attempt to become immersed in the nectar ocean?
Right. So that's true with all of us. This is a kind of everyone's struggle. I remember my early days I was speaking about now. I was 25 years of age when I came into Krishna consciousness. And the mind is always, you know, it's always starting to full with doubts. So there are doubts, there are distractions. And what personally helped me from my own experience was that it's a journey which we have to go through. So we should see that, are we progressing every day? So we may not be in the ocean of devotion to start with, but we know that what we are aspiring for, so we have kind of a goal in mind, and we get inspiration, we get our inspiration from devotees who are around us who are in that ocean of devotion. So A is look for inspiration, look for inspiring personalities, not only in the scriptures, but also in real life. So that's one thing. And fortunately, you are, whenever we're in a temple area, temple surrounding, we always find, there are, great personalities, great devotees who are around us, who can inspire us. And in addition to that, you take care of course, Shastra, because if you are intellectual in your, everybody is different on strengths and their areas. So I used to have a lot of questions. So I used to read a lot. Now I should pick a book, I remember my initial books were Path of Perfection, Journey of Self-Discovery, On the Way to Krishna. So read a book, and I somehow found that, the books used to answer all my questions. It's like Prabhupada is speaking to me. You have a question, you pick a book, and you get exactly the same answer you're looking for. So that kind of working in reciprocation. You have a question, and through a book, you get answers, Prabhupada's books. So devotees, Shastra, and of course, you find something that you like in Krishna consciousness. I used to like Kirtan a lot. So if nothing works, Kirtan. Sit in Kirtan and you find you are immersing. So find out your areas that you relish the most in Krishna service. So with the combination of, I think, these three should help kind of overcome the inertia or the distractions of this world. Okay, thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the nice class, Prabhu. We were talking about Tan. It reminds me a saying in China, Chun Jin Nan Mai, Chun Guang Yin, means, you cannot purchase an inch of tan by paying an inch of gold. We have a saying in China like that.
Right.
Therefore, like you said, we have to really make the best use of our time, you see. Yeah. Somehow or other, I'm just feeling that whenever I come back from the book distribution, I'm feeling today I did something meaningful. I have not wasted my time today. Yeah, because, this book distribution is really both beneficial for the conditioned soul and for myself, you see. Yeah, it's like a win-win business.
Great, Jai.
I just want to share my experience.
In fact, I have gone to Santa Monica Pier a couple of times with some guests, and every time I go, I see him distributing. So you are my inspiration. When I see you distributing books, it inspires, So it's so nice to see you through there.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai.
Brad.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
book?
These are Shri Prabhupada's moment to me. Very important time, because when you leave the temple, sometimes you go to this.